Title: Sub and Kick Balance Masterclass with Stock Devices Intermediate. Alright, let's build a drum and bass low end that actually behaves. Kick and sub are the engine indeed, NB. If they're arguing, everything else you do is basically damage control. If they're working together, the whole track feels louder, cleaner, and more expensive even before mastering. This lesson is a practical workflow you can repeat on any project, using only Ableton stock devices. We're going to set rolls, align phase and timing, dial side chain so it rolls instead of flaps, add harmonics so the sub translates on small speakers, lock the low end to mono, and do quick pro style checks that stop you from fooling yourself. Let's go. First, session prep. Set your tempo somewhere in the 172 to 176 zone, classic rolling territory. Now create a few tracks and groups so your routing is clean. You want a kick track, a sub track, a drum bus group for all drums, a bass bus group for sub plus any mid bass layers, and optionally a low end bus where you group just the kick and sub together. That last one is really useful because it lets you treat the low end like one instrument once it's behaving. Drop a reference track on an audio track. Important: don't let it bully your mix. Put a utility on the reference and pull it down by about 10 to 14 dB. You're going to solo that reference a lot, but you're using it for reality checks, not to crush your self-esteem. Next, choose complementary kick and sub. This part is more important than any plug-in chain. If you start with a kick that has a massive sub tail, you're basically asking it to fight the sub. For DNB, a good kick often has a shortish tail, a clear transient click somewhere in the 2 to 5k range so it cuts, and a bit of knock in the 90 to 140 zone. But it shouldn't be trying to live at 45 to 60 like the sub. For the sub, keep it stable. Sine or triangle based is perfect. If you're using a Reese with a sub layer, keep the actual sub layer clean and controlled. Quick stock sub build. Make a MIDI track called sub. Load operator. Oscillator on sine. Start the level around minus 12 dB so you don't accidentally build your whole mix around a sub that's way too loud. Set the amp envelope. Attack basically 0 to 5 milliseconds, decay somewhere around 300 to 800 milliseconds depending on your pattern, and decide how you want note control. If you want the note length to be truly note length, set sustain all the way down. If you want longer held notes to stay present, you can set sustain around minus 6 dB. Release around 80 to 150 milliseconds so notes don't click off, and make sure pitch envelope is off. We want clean for now. Now, before we EQ anything, here's a coach move that saves you a ton of time. Pick an anchor note. Choose the lowest common root in your drop. In DNB, it's often around F, G, or G sharp territory, but it depends on your tune. Why do this? Because sometimes what you think is an EQ problem is actually pitch conflict. The kick's body might be resonating between notes, and it just never feels settled with the bass line. So loop a kick hit, put Ableton's tuner on it, and focus on the body, not the click. If the reading is messy, don't panic. You're listening for whether there's a stable resonance. Then adjust the kick sample transpose in simpler or sampler, or clip transpose, until it supports the key instead of fighting it. This doesn't have to be perfect, but it should feel intentional. Cool. Now we assign frequency ownership, because kick and sub can overlap, but they can't both be the boss in the same spot. On the kick track, at EQ 8. First, high pass around 25 to 35 Hz. That's rumble, that's headroom theft, and it's not musical most of the time. Then listen. If the kick has too much sub tail, cut a little around 45 to 70 Hz. Think 2 to 5 dB, with a Q around 1 to 1.6. You're not deleting the kick. You're just making space for the sub fundamental. Then, if you want more knock, you can do a small boost around 90 to 120. 1 to 3 dB is plenty. If you boost more than that, it usually means the sample choice wasn't right, or the transient is dull. On the sub track, at EQ 8, high pass at 20 to 30 Hz, gently. Then low pass around 120 to 180, steep, like 24 dB per octave. If you have a separate mid-bass layer, low pass tighter, like 100 to 140. Your sub track should be boring on purpose. Boring sub equals reliable sub. Quick rule of thumb. If your sub fundamental is around 50 Hz, don't let the kick's biggest energy live there too. You can have overlap, but not competition. Now phase and timing alignment. This is where weak turns into heavy with almost no change in level. Put spectrum on both kick and sub. Solo them together. Watch and listen when they hit at the same time. If the low peak feels like it dips, or the hit feels hollow, or you feel like you have to crank the volume for it to work, that's a clue. First fix. Timing. This is the most reliable stock method. Zoom into your kick waveform. Then try Tiny Delays. Enable track delays in the mixer view, and test something like minus 1 millisecond to plus 1 millisecond on the kick. Yes, that's small. Sometimes a few samples is the difference between punch and puddle. You're not looking for correct. You're looking for most solid when combined. When it's right, the low end feels like it jumps forward and gets louder without you touching a fader. Second fix, polarity flip. Put utility on either the kick or the sub and try phase invert left and right. Sometimes it's instantly better. Sometimes it's worse. Choose the version that gives you more stable weight. Third fix, sub start behavior. If your sub is MIDI, the amp attack matters. Too instant can click, too slow can miss the punch. Try 1 to 5 milliseconds. You can also nudge the MIDI note start slightly if the groove needs it. In rolling DNB, the tiny separation can make the kick feel more defined. Now, sidechain. Sidechain in DNB is not just make room, it's groove design. You're literally sculpting the low-end movement. On the sub track, add compressor. Turn on sidechain. Choose the kick as the input. Pre-defx is often best, because you want a consistent trigger. Starting settings, ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 2 to 10 milliseconds so the kick transient still feels like it hits. Release 60 to 140 milliseconds. Faster release equals punchier, more obvious movement. Slower release equals smoother roll, but go too slow and the sub stays missing and the drop loses energy. Set the threshold so you're getting roughly 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. Knee around 3 to 6 dB for smoothness. And here's a big teaching point. Don't dial sidechain while the sub is soloed. You will almost always overdo it. Dial it in with drums and bass together, because that's where the groove lives. If you want a more refined option, multiband sidechain is a cheat code for keeping your mid-bass presence while only ducking the actual sub range. Use multiband dynamics on the sub, turn on sidechain from the kick, and focus on compressing the low band only. Set the crossover around 120 Hz. Low band ratio 2 to 4 to 1. Attack about half a millisecond to 5 milliseconds, release 60 to 160. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of ducking down there. Your mids stay present, but the kick has room to punch. Next, harmonics for translation. A pure sine is huge on a club system, but on a phone speaker it can basically vanish. So we add harmonics carefully, without eating headroom or turning the low end into mud. After your EQ and sidechain on the sub, add saturator. Analog clip mode is great for DNB weight. Drive 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then match the output so you're not tricked by loudness. If it sounds better only because it's louder, that's not better, that's a trap. You can optionally turn on color and set it around 1.5 to 3.5k for a little audibility, but be subtle. We're not making a fuzz bass, we're giving the sub a spine. Then put an EQ8 after the saturator. If it got boxy, a small cut around 150 to 300 Hz can clean it up. 1 to 3 dB is usually enough. Pro sound design bonus. If your sub feels like some notes are huge and other notes disappear, try adding a tiny harmonic inside operator. Turn on OSC B as a sign 1 octave up. Very low level, like minus 24 to minus 30 dB relative. This can stabilize perceived loudness across notes without turning the sub into a mid-bass. Another pro move. Parallel harmonics. Put an audio effect rock on the sub. One chain is clean. The other chain is saturator plus an EQ high pass around 80 to 120 Hz so only the harmonics remain. Blend that harmonics chain quietly. That way your fundamental stays clean and your readability lives above it. Now lock the low end to mono. This is not optional if you want club reliability. On the sub track, add utility at the end and set width to 0%. Mono. Done. For the kick, usually keep it mono too. If it's layered and you want a tiny bit of width in the click layer, fine, but the low part should be stable and centered. And here's why. Stereo sub can sound exciting in headphones, but it collapses unpredictably in mono systems. And big systems are basically mono in the low end. If your weight disappears when summed, your mix will feel small no matter how hard you push it. Now glue the low end together. Group the kick and sub into your low end bus. On that bus, add EQ8. Gentle high pass at 20 to 25 Hz. If the mix is muddy, a tiny dip around 200 to 300 can help, but don't automatically carve holes. Only do it if you hear a problem. Then add glue compressor, gently. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release auto or about 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. You're aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on loud hits. This makes kick and sub feel like one instrument. If you're taking 5 dB off here, you're not gluing, you're flattening. Optional safety clip trick. put a saturator on the low-end bus with soft clip-on, drive just 1 to 3 dB, and match output. This can catch occasional peaks without killing punch, especially after you've been messing with phase and timing. Now, arrangement mindset. You can't fully mix your way out of a pattern that creates constant collisions. In rolling DNB, a common approach is kick on 1 and 3, sometimes an extra ghost kick for drive. For sub, avoid mirroring the kick exactly on every hit unless you want that specific effect. Try sub notes that answer the kick, or sustain through the bar and let the sidechain create rhythm. Or start sub notes slightly after the kick, even a tiny offset, for separation. If you're using breaks, watch the low end in the break sample. High pass your break group at around 100 to 150 Hz so it doesn't compete with the dedicated kick and sub system. Break low end is usually messy and inconsistent, and it will absolutely steal headroom. Now let's set up quick checks like a pro, because this is how you stop guessing. First, mono check. Put a utility on the master and temporarily set width to 0%. If your sub peak drops a lot or the groove feels weaker, something is causing stereo or phase problems upstream. Common culprits: stereo widenas on mid-bass bleeding too low, chorus, unison, stereo samples, or reverb returns that aren't filtered. Fix is simple. Keep anything stereo high-passed above roughly 120 to 180 Hz so the true low-end stays mono-solid. Second, low-end-only audition. Put an EQ8 on the master and briefly band-limit what you hear. Low-pass around 140 and high-pass around 25. This is like putting your ear right on the low-end relationship. This audio version is shortened for playback.